Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
We have liftoff. All right. I'm so happy to welcome you. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and this is part of the Living A Course in Miracles series. It's our 10th series, and this one, our theme is Living the Miracle, Being Truly Helpful. And when I tuned in, who am I to invite as the teachers? Holy Spirit said loud and clear, Lisa Natoli. Lisa, I'm so happy to have you join us.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, you were part of the series that we did in 2014. I think that might have been the seventh series. And you and your husband co-founded the Teachers of God Foundation, which I know we'll talk about. It's teachersofgod.org. And Lisa has and Bill have so many things there that you can partake of that will really support you living A Course in Miracles. So we'll talk more about that later, and I encourage everybody to check that out. Lisa's also the author of a book, Gorgeous for God, that I know people love, and I encourage people to check that out as well. So let us begin, as we always do, with a prayer, and I invite everyone to place their hand on their heart, so that we can consciously affirm in this moment that we are wholeheartedly here to be truly helpful, that we are willing to live a miraculous life. We are grateful and thankful to open our heart and open our mind to the power and the presence of love living through us and as us. We are grateful and thankful to dedicate our conversation and our time together to knowing the truth that sets us free. What I know for each and every one of us is that all false beliefs, all false identification is falling away with ease and grace. We're stepping into a living awareness of our perfection and our wholeness. We're already as holy can be, and we're willing to know it now for ourselves and for our brothers and sisters. We consciously share the benefits of our healing, our awakening, our expansion with everyone because we're one with them. In gratitude, we allow it to be. We let it be. And so it is. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes. And Lisa, you picked the topic that is the same as your radio show, which is Living in Joy, How Choosing Helpfulness and Happiness Transformed My Life. And Spirit is giving me this question just to start us off with. You know, as I do, that joy is a spiritual quality. It's unconditional, that our very nature is to be joyful regardless of the circumstances. And that can be pretty hard to wrap our minds around because we think that things of this world make us happy or unhappy. So just to point us in the right direction here of living in joy, how do people even wrap their mind around the possibility of living a joyful life when the world seems so chaotic and crazy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. To me, everything revolves around joy. I know every individual has their own particular gifts and abilities. And for me, joy is the one that keeps coming back to me. And to answer your question, I think it's really about that word choice. You have to choose for it. And that's why the title is How Choosing Helpfulness and Happiness Transform My Life. So it's not how happiness and helpfulness transform my life. I truly believe that A Course in Miracles is first and foremost a mind training. And, you know, it's based on Christian terminology. It's the message of Jesus. It's a psychology. It's about forgiveness. I mean, there's so many beautiful elements in that book. But for me as a teacher, it always comes back to the mind training, that you're really beginning to look at your thoughts, your beliefs, your emotions, and you're choosing to see things differently. You're choosing for your true nature. And so that to me is a beginning point, is where in this moment, I love that prayer, Jennifer. I mean, every time you speak, it's just so opens my heart. And while you were saying the prayer, I was thinking, there's nothing else to say. Like, that's it. Like, we're really here and acknowledging the light that we are. But what I know to be true is every single person has that awakening, that awareness of the light that they are, but then they slip. And that's why you need mind training. And so choosing for joy, saying that is my function, that's the thing I want to remember. I want to remember I'm here to live in love, to live in joy, and to be truly helpful. And so to me, it really is about the word choosing, deliberately, consciously, actively, and having it be an uncompromising choice.
You know, I wholeheartedly agree with you. And what I had to train myself to do, as I'm sure you have, is I had to train myself to recognize that I used to, in my past life, we could say, in my previous part of this life, I would consciously choose to be irritated. I would consciously choose to be annoyed. I would consciously choose to be upset over and over and over again. And yet, in a certain sense, I had a veil in my mind to the fact that I was the one that was choosing it, and I would blame it on things that were happening.
I love it. You know, there's, for many years, the reason I chose this title is because I've had A Course in Miracles since 1992. I found it with Marianne Williamson's book, A Return to Love. Mm-hmm. I was living in New York, and for the first 10 years probably, I was going to Course in Miracles groups. I was studying it. I was doing the workbook lessons. I was trying to learn it, and not much was changing. You know, I'd have those brief moments of freedom and joy, and I would always slide back into conflict. And I was always really curious about that, because I'm somebody who was, in my mind, totally dedicated. You know, I said, I just want the peace of God. I just want to be here available for God's will. I really, really, really just want to live in joy. And yet I was in conflict all the time. And then I even went and was with a master teacher. I was at Endeavor Academy for 10 years. And that was an amazing period for me. I loved every second of it. I wouldn't change a thing, but I was still in conflict. So what I love about the way I am as a teacher now is I actually understand how people can say they want to live in joy and live in gratitude, and yet they can't. And the turning point for me was, I remember my friend Max, who many people who know me as a teacher know Max. We've done many radio shows together. He's just a longtime friend of mine. And he would listen to my stories and be in conflict. And he would say, Natoli, you want to be in conflict. And I remember fighting with him. I would say, no, I don't. He said, yes, you do. That will be a big step for you. If you can at least admit that you want to be in conflict. You love it. You love the confusion. Just admit it. And I remember being speechless, and I remember thinking, he is right. He says, look, the second you really are done with the conflict, it will be gone. You won't have it anymore. And that is actually what happened for me. Like, I chose for it. I really made this uncompromising decision. This was around 2010, I would say. I was living in Wisconsin still. I was running a bed and breakfast there. And it was just this moment where I really saw, like, I see that I keep circling in the same loop and not much changes. And I really wanted to see that change. I really wanted to see what this message of A Course in Miracles was. And I began choosing for joy and happiness and helpfulness. And the road really does open up. I mean, that's the one thing I want to continually say to people. And this is why I love you so much, Jennifer, because you're all about living A Course in Miracles. Not just reading it, not just studying the words, but you actually have to do what it says. You actually have to move on. I know, but that's the truth. Like, you actually have to forgive the grievance and let it go. You actually have to love one another. And when you do that, that's when you see the entire world open up of miracles.
It's true. Well said. You know, you remind me, you're telling us about your friendship with Max. You remind me that I used to love conflict too, that I would pick these fights and arguments with people just to feel powerful, just to feel like, you know what, I can annoy people. I have the power to annoy people. Seriously, you know, joy is such a choice. Happiness is a choice. And it's a living practice all day long. Are there any sort of cornerstones of this shift that you've made in your life and are, like me, probably continuing to make every day, continuing to up-level every day, be more pristine every day? Are there any cornerstones, any little sayings that you use that have helped you to flip the switch in your mind?
That's a great question. I think the most important thing of all is time with God. I really think that time, it should be first thing. It should be first thing in the morning and developing a relationship with God. And I don't have a religious background. I didn't even know about Jesus until I was probably 32, I think. And I began to just say, okay, I don't know what that looks like. I don't want to have a reference for what other people think it looks like, but I do know how to just be quiet. And I think that's all it takes. I think for anyone listening, that you just rearrange your day, that you have a new morning routine, that you know, for me, I get up in the morning, I get a cup of coffee, I crawl back into bed, and I have a journal. I've been doing the artist morning pages for 20 years now with Julia Cameron, you know, just three longhand pages. I don't try to edit myself. And it's a time where I'm connecting within. I'm connecting to the love that I am. I'm listening. And to me, that's the most important thing. And I would say the second thing, and I don't know how to teach it or talk about it really, but And this is why it was important when I met you. The first time I met you was back in Chicago, but you can't try to be joyful. I can't explain the difference, but some people make this choice, like, I'm just going to be happy. But that's the ego version of happy. Like, happiness is what you are. So the mind training is about being so alert and vigilant and dedicated to watching your mind, your thoughts, the words that are coming out of your mouth, the stories that are running a track in your head, the grievances, the judgments, and being willing to let them go or to see them differently. And as you do that, that joy begins to come forth. Like Jesus describes it as a spark in the beginning, just a light in us. It's a tiny little thing. So many people that I know who have taken the programs or who I've met along the way, they're trying to be spiritual. They're trying to be helpful. They're giving. And they're exhausted because that light just begins to shine through, and you begin to have an experience that it's not a joy that's of this world. It's not a peace of this world. And so you're simply allowing the blocks and the obstacles to the awareness of love's presence to be removed. And then there's a joy that surpasses all understanding. It's just the giving and the extension is happening by itself. So you're not exhausted. You don't feel tired. And I don't really know how to explain that, but you were the first one. When I met you in Chicago that time, you were at the Course in Miracles conference, and I had never heard of you or seen you before, and you gave a talk. And I remember sitting there just chilled up and down at how authentic and real you are. I thought, oh, my God, that's it. It's just to be yourself without any idea of trying to be a spiritual teacher or trying to be loving or kind. You're just yourself. It's it's juicy. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, like that's it. You know, it's just be yourself. Don't try to be your version of what you think it looks like. So I thank you with all my heart for the way you show up in the world, because it really is a light that's so beautiful.
Well, thank you. You know, one of the things that was really hard for me and robbed me of happiness as a spiritual student, because I'm 56 now, I started studying spirituality, got into it when I was 26. 30 years ago. And for a very long time, Lisa, I was reading books and taking classes and going to church, New Thought churches, and all of that, and studying. And I was always judging myself as not being loving enough, not being spiritual enough, and trying to be PC, not, or SC, spiritually correct, you know, and I was always failing. And I had in my private thoughts, I was, so for instance, I might be looking at someone and saying, oh, yes, oh, I have so much compassion for you. And then internally, I'd be thinking, but it's too bad you're such an idiot, because, oh my God, you're such loser. I can't believe you. Like, how did you even consider getting out of the house in that outfit? What are you thinking? Your spirituality is not your problem. It's your clothes, you know? I mean, seriously, I just had all kinds of, I was just a cacophony of all kinds of things. And I yearned to be happy, and I thought spirituality would take me there. But in truth, I was so intensely judgmental, and I had such a deep sense that there was something terribly wrong with me. And it was just a jumble of all these things. And I saw spiritual teachers around me who I could feel were not being authentic. They were pretending to be more loving than they really were. They were pretending to be more awake than they really were. And so when I decided, okay, I'm gonna do this thing. I'm gonna wake up. I'm doing it. I don't know how to do it, but I'm doing it, and that's the only thing that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. What then started to happen was I started to realize I just have to start keeping it real.
Right. Lovely.
I've got to be transparent. So that was a big healing for me, because the more I was transparent, the more helpful it was to other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I would just start telling people, hey, I have a real problem with self-medication, you know, and this and this and this, and just, and people would be like, oh my God, I can't believe you're talking about that. Nobody talks about that. So for me, it was part of being helpful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just was yesterday. I was just teaching. We have a Course in Miracles group every Friday morning at our Unity Church in Amesbury, Massachusetts, and we live stream it. And just yesterday, you know, I've been at it too over 25 years for me now. And just last week, I landed in Crazy Land, and you know, and I talked about it. I didn't go into the details because I don't think they're necessary. But
right.
I had the same experience, people coming up to me and saying, oh my God, that was your best class ever. Because people really want to know that we're all in the same boat together. It's not like I've arrived and, oh, poor you, you're still, you know, still sleeping in a dark dream of death. And it's like, no, I fall in these places. And the thing that helped me is what I shared yesterday is that I got a card in the mail from a friend of mine, and it reminded me of the truth again. And that's what I was saying. I said, you know, we need each other. We need each other to remind each other of the truth when we land in these places. And, you know, I call it the great slide. You know, it's that we have these moments where we think, okay, wow, I've done all the workbook lessons. I've been at this for 10 years. I've read the text. I've had this awakening experience, and then a great slide, you know. And to me, that's the work. That is precisely what it means to be here for the salvation of the world. It's not that we're arriving at a destination and now I'm just like here and you're not, and I'm waiting for everyone to catch up and wake up. It's really that every single moment is revealing itself to me, and I'm available for it. Like, I'm here in this place. You know, I have this teaching that comes from the 40-day program that many people have told me is extremely helpful. And I call it, that just happened. So what that means is that for so much of our lives, we wish things were different, that we think, like, if you had done that differently, I wouldn't be in this situation. Or if I had done something differently, this wouldn't be happening. But the truth of the matter is, it is happening. And so you begin to say, okay, that just happens. And you have like a happy lightheartedness about it, where it's like, okay, this is in front of me. This is what is mine to be present for, and not try to change it. Let me change my mind about this thing instead of running a story about how it should have been different. And then seeing like how everything comes to support you now to bring you back to that center again.
It's true. It's really true. It's, you know, Lisa, one of the things I share with people is that our journey of, we could say, rising in God or awakening awareness, however we term it, it's like a spiraling upwards. And the thing about the spiral is we spiral up, but then it seems like we're spiraling down again. And it's like we're revisiting the things that we thought we were just rising above, but we're actually going back to get the dregs of it and clear that out. And then doing that gives us the energy to rise up higher than we've ever risen before. So it's like a spiraling down, spiraling up. And the continuous movement is progressive. We're progressively rising higher, but inevitably we seem to go back down and then back up and back down and back up. And there can be that sense that when we've dipped down that somehow we failed or we've lost what we gained, but that's never the case. It's just an opportunity to strengthen our mind by revisiting things that we're letting go of.
I love that.
Yeah, it's part of the journey. And the other thing that I get as you're talking, Lisa, is this major habit of the ego. It's one of the main things that the ego has to keep us feeling bad about ourselves. It's comparison.
Right.
So I have a year-long class called Masterful Living, and we say compare and despair. And so the ego's always trying to get us to compare ourselves. Am I more spiritual than other people? Am I less spiritual than other people? And it's either way, we lose.
Right, yes. Yep. And to me, like, I love that you say that, because I feel like there's this huge shift that's happening right now in the world. You know, it was like a miracle that Jesus got A Course in Miracles into the world 50 years ago through Helen Schuckman. Mm-hmm. And he calls it a plan of teachers. He calls it a great awakening. He says that we are here to help him. He says, for all your questions, answer me this one question. Are you ready yet to help me save the world? And, you know, it's been interesting for me just to see all the different teachers of A Course in Miracles and the different organizations and the different groups, and how it's all changing now, like how we're all joining together in one space to not try to get our own programs out, but to just get the message of A Course in Miracles out, like to let go of the comparisons. You know, I think it was like 2 years ago, I was at a wedding and James Twyman was there. I didn't know him. I'd heard of him, but he and I were waiting outside a bathroom to use the bathroom, and he had heard of me also, and we're standing outside this bathroom, and it was like instant love. It was an amazing instant connection with him. And then we stood there for like 20 minutes or 30 minutes outside this bathroom door waiting for what we thought someone was in there to come out, but there was no one in there. And we laughed when we found out that we're just standing outside this empty bathroom. Well, about 20 minutes later, someone said to me, oh, bad news, Lisa, you've got competition. Jimmy Twyman's doing a 1-year workbook audio program just like you. And I immediately thought in my mind, there's no competition in the mind of God. I have to help him. Yeah. And I went to Bill and I said, because we were both launching a similar program. I mean, he does a musical workbook lessons. I was doing a 10-minute audio thing. Neither of us had started recording. And I went to Bill and I said, we have to help him. We have to tell everyone we know to join his program. And, you know, Bill tells the story now because his first reaction was one of like, no, we don't. You know, it was just, it was that initial moment of like that comparison. Like, we were just a, you know, a brand new organization. And I love Bill so much because he sits in it. He does the work and it doesn't take him long. So he was sitting beside me at this table at this wedding. And I was just waiting for him to say, yes, we do. You're right. And he did that. He, within 5 minutes, maybe, Bill said, you're right. Let's help him. And in that moment, Jimmy came and sat down next to us. And we said, we're going to help you. We're going to tell everyone we know to join your 1-year online program. And everything from that moment has been bigger. It is in the joining. Like, I really feel that Jesus is rejoicing right now because we're all now letting go of our own attachment to the outcomes, of letting go of our own agendas. And we're saying, okay, we are here to be truly helpful and to be available for this message to come into this world, letting go of everything of what we need in our own private little wants and needs. So it's just been amazing to me. And then to join with you, you know, in the next year, it's like we're all just coming together now. It's just a party now. You know, there's no separate interests.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I first started living A Course in Miracles, these classes back in, I guess it was 2011, some of the teachers that I approached, literally some of the Course in Miracles teachers I approached, wouldn't even have a conversation with me about it. And the attitude they had a little bit was, who are you? This is ours. Course in Miracles belongs to us. It doesn't belong to you. And I was like, hey, that's okay. I'm just trying to be helpful. No problem. I get it. That's cool. I'll come back and maybe in a year you'll want to play then. And I did. And they're like, nope, still don't want to play. And I had a few teachers who were really like, not interested. And I'm like, I'm doing a free class with 10,000 people and you don't want to share anything? No, I do not.
Yep.
Okay. And then other people, you know, everybody who's been a part of this has, you know, we've had such a good time. We've had so much fun. And one of the best things ever was, I know one of the, after the first time David Hoffmeister was in one of these classes, he did an event in San Francisco, and a friend of mine had told his mother, I just heard this guy, David Hoffmeister, in Jennifer's class, go, you've got to go hear him, he's going to be in your area. So she went, and she was sitting there waiting for David to come out. She turned to the woman next to her and said, how did you find out about David Hoffmeister? And that person said to her, oh, I heard him in Jennifer Hadley's class. Okay. And I just thought, score. You know, this is exactly what I was hoping for, is that more and more people would hear the voice of the teacher that talks to them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
And so, and I see more and more of that kind of thing happening. And you and I have only done a couple Course in Miracles conferences. I've done three, but I feel the energy shifting among the people and the teachers in the mm-hmm. whole community. It feels like it's definitely expanding and opening up. It's mm-hmm. beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now. Like we're seeing whole batches of people who had never heard of A Course in Miracles until now. And that's what I feel like. I feel that it's, you know, we have so many people that have done it for 20 and 30 and 40 years, but now there's something that's happening where a lot of people are hearing about it and they are living A Course in Miracles. Like that is now their first entry point. Like I think about how I struggled for 25 years and these guys are just stepping in and they're hearing teachers like you and teachers like me and teachers like David and Gary Renard, and like the message has changed now. You know, the message really is about, okay, I'm here only to be truly helpful. Like I'm here only for this purpose. And now new people who are stepping in for the very first time going, what is A Course in Miracles? And we're saying it's a mind training, you know, just do what it says. You know, commit to the 1 year to do the workbook lessons. It's going to work with your own thought system and be amazed. Like, be amazed how much your life changes. And to me, I always love that sentence that healing is joining. And it's mm-hmm. really like, okay, I can't do this alone. Like what I was saying yesterday in our Course in Miracles group, there's not a single person who walks this earth who got this alone, not even Jesus. Like Jesus, you know, it's documented his birth and the first 13 years of his life. So we hear about his childhood. We hear about, you know, his early childhood and then the lost years. The story stops at the age of 13 and doesn't pick up again until he's 30 when he's going into the desert for the 40 days and then the 3 years of his public ministry. Well, the lost years, from 13 to 30, was the mind training of A Course in Miracles. Like he was with teachers. He had teachers. He went and he was doing the training. So when I hear people get upset or get frustrated at themselves because they think, well, I'm not there yet. I've done the workbook lesson this many times. I've done the 40-day program 5 times. I'm still struggling. What's wrong with me? And I think, no, you're simply in the space where you are in this moment, and it's all perfect. And then Jesus finally came to that place where he made that decision, said, okay, it's time. It's time now. And that uncompromising nature came through. And to me, that's the call right now.
Yes, it is. It is. And in this living of A Course in Miracles, like you said, doing the workbook lessons, taking it one moment at a time, one day at a time, really practicing it, not just reading it, because reading it is not going to change your mind or change your life. It's the actual willingness to apply it and live it is the only way. I know that you have other practices, and just in terms of how you live your life. So, for instance, you're a tither.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And tithing is often misunderstood, and you're so clear about it. And your 40-day, you have a 40-day program about prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
So I wondered if you could, because that's a key to happiness.
Totally. Yeah.
Being, you know, you can call it being a tither, but it's really being in the flow of giving and receiving.
Yep. Yes.
I wonder if you could talk about that as a practice of happiness and joy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the 40-day program is not a 40-day program for prosperity. We are working on another online program that we're excited about. But at the very end of the 40 days, I talk about my own experience with money and with tithing. And what I love is that so many people have ideas of, like, we shouldn't be talking about worldly things. We shouldn't talk about anything except spiritual ideas. So we shouldn't be talking about money. And for me, I played that game for a long time, and I was in poverty. You know, I had 10 years worth of credit card debt. I kept saying it's not real. You know, I'm like, I kept thinking it's just going to go away. But see, that's not doing the mind training. Like, that's hoping for magic. And
right.
I was at our Unity Church, and I had come to a point in my life, I think this was in, I don't know, 2012 maybe. I had no job, no money, 10 years worth of credit card debt, and our church was offering Edwin Gaines' book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, which talks about tithing. I'd never even heard about it. As I said, I didn't grow up in a church, and I just knew I have to do something dramatic. I need to be all in with something, and it was a 5-week class. And I just said, I am going to do everything our minister says to do. No matter what she says, I'm doing it. For 5 weeks, I can do that. And it was tithe, and 10% of every dollar and dime that comes in. And tithing is a spiritual practice to me where you're in the flow, where you're trusting in God and you're not holding on anymore. And so it's, and the term itself means 10. Tithe means 10. So you're giving 10% of every money that comes back into you in the acknowledgement that it came from God, and you're giving it to wherever you're being spiritually fed. So it doesn't have to be a church or an organization. It could be a waitress who reminded you of the truth when you really were in a dark place, or it can be, you know, to you, you know, Jennifer Hadley, like, she's really helped me and I want to really tithe to her. It can be to anyone who's being a light for you in the dark. And to me, what it did was it really busted up every idea I had about money. And Bill, he tells a story. He was a lifelong tither because he was in the church. And when I said, I'm tithing, he said, I'm not. He didn't want to take the class at first. And he said, I've been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. But see, his years of tithing were guilt, like that he gave because of guilt and obligation. So when he saw me begin, and he began looking at the book, one night I had gone to bed and he was reading the book, and he thought, yeah, wow, this way looks different than what I'm used to. And we've never looked back. Like, we really can see how it's just a great, powerful way where you get to look at your ideas. Now, the point where a lot of people get stuck that I have seen is they're giving to get, and you can't give to get. You have to give completely with no attachments. Like, you're not trying to get anything out of it. It's just to undo your fears around money. Just to really see, okay, wow, I'm holding on to this one area. So for me, whenever I hear someone has any fear around money, I always suggest tithing. I always just say, just choose an amount of time, 5 weeks, you know, just try it. But be 100% about it. Like, be 100% and acknowledge when that dollar comes in or that $100 comes in. For me, someone sent me a $10,000 check. It was in the first couple of weeks. Somebody who had read Gorgeous for God, and she'd been greatly helped through the her mother had passed away, and she sent me a $10,000 check in the first week of this class, and I didn't think it was real. I mean, I had never seen a check like that. And, you know, it was like, okay, this isn't my money. This is God's money. And I gave $1,000 back to Unity. And I love it. I just think it's an exciting practice. It releases you from every fear. It shows you your hidden beliefs. It does that. So it's not in A Course in Miracles, and I recognize that, but it is something that changed my own life. So I always share about that.
It is a life-changing practice, and it's amazing how it reduces fear through people think that, you know, I barely have enough money to live. How could I possibly give a percentage, any percentage, even 1% away when I don't have enough? But the thing is saying I don't have enough to give anything away.
Exactly.
It's just going to create more of that. But when we're grateful for what we have and we're supporting that which lifts us up, then we're saying, I do have.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it just goes back to, you're going to experience what you think about. You're going to experience what your beliefs are, always, always, always. And that is, obviously, the teaching of A Course in Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Tithing definitely changed my life, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, those first five weeks weren't even about the money. Even though I was giving the money, it was more about a decision. And that's why I always use the word choose, like how choosing helpfulness and happiness transformed my life. I chose it. In a moment, I said, okay, this is the moment. And I always encourage people to claim this moment right here today as your new beginning. Like maybe you've never tithed, and maybe you've been studying the course for all these years and you're still in conflict. The past is over. Let it go. Start right where you are and acknowledge, I am a child of God. Like, I'm perfectly protected. I am surrounded by God's love. I'm not alone. And this is the moment I began. And I go forth from this place. You know, I was loving your talk with Miranda McPherson, and she uses a lot of the ideas that I often teach about when she was talking about being the presence of love. And she was talking about what Jesus is saying, like, join me, you know, where do you abide? And that's an idea I use a lot, because I'm always, when I meet someone, like I use the word location. What's your location? Like, where are you located in the thoughts that you're holding about yourself? So is your location in lack and deprivation and sorrow and conflict? Or is your location in joy? And a miracle is a shift out of fear into love. It only takes an instant. And so Jesus is saying, when he says, join with me, he's saying, come to the place where I am. And so you have to actually move out of your location, and you have to move forward. You know, this is really about getting unstuck from those beliefs. And to me, an action like giving the money and trusting that you can live in a new way is a fast way to get unstuck.
Yes, totally. I'm so glad you said it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I am so glad you said it that way, Lisa, because these are the kinds of tips and tools that are really helpful to people. As I say all the time, studying A Course in Miracles isn't that helpful for a lot of people. It just keeps them up in their head. Many people can just read the course and underline every line of it and go, woo, it's so good, it's so true. But if we're not applying it, it just doesn't change our life.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. And there's so many parts in the course. If you look at it, it's, you know, take my hands and we walk to God. We walk. He talks a lot about your feet being on holy ground. Like, he's actually, Jesus is using the physical description of your humanness, of your body. You know, yesterday I was talking about the story in the Bible about Joshua and the wall of Jericho. And Joshua was given the instruction that wherever your feet lands on, you will claim that land. And so the metaphysical description, the meaning of that, and that's, this is for all of us, is that we have to move into that space. We have to move out of the place where we're standing before the wall, which is just all our beliefs and our obstacles, and allow ourselves to get into that vibration or that frequency or that feeling of I am abundant. I am perfectly protected. That's your feet touching the ground. Your feet are now in that new location. You're now abiding in this place where you're feeling like, as soon as you think I can do this, your feet have touched holy ground. You are no longer in the old space of saying I can't because. You're saying I can because, I will because, and you now are in that new location and you're abiding there. And so the only thing to me now is being mindful and alert for when you slip back, and then get back to the center. When you slip back again, get back to the center.
Yeah, exactly. I call it course correction. It's all day long. All day long. And I often say that when they send a rocket to the moon, you've got that the Earth is turning, the moon is turning, they both have gravitational pulls. All these factors are involved. It's not unlike our life. So if we're going to set our trajectory to live an awakened life, to live a truly helpful, beautiful, radiant, loving life, where there are so many things in the world that are shifting and changing, and we have all these multi-layers of false belief patterns bumping up against everybody else's false belief patterns, all these different things to consider, we must keep course correcting all day long. And the only way we can effectively do that is to keep our attention on where we'd like to be, like to be, how we'd like to be. And so it requires a great desire to be loving.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I heard even that when the pilots fly an airplane, it's a similar thing, that they set the coordinates before they take off. Like they're in the pilots are in the plane and they know exactly where they're going. You know, they're going to start in Boston and they're going to end in San Diego. And so as they're flying, I'm told that the plane's never on center. It's always because of the wind and the plane, and it just naturally goes off center. But because the coordinate has been set for its destination to where it's going, it's constantly auto-correcting. It's constantly getting back on center. And to me, that's the only practice that's needed, that we set the goal at the beginning. My goal is God. My goal is to remember who I am. And then all day long, I'm off center, and then I'm on center, and then I'm on, so slightly off, slightly, and then back on, and then, yep. And not beating myself up for it anymore, just saying, okay, right. Whoa, this is what it looks like. Excellent. And in that, there's my joy.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, think about that plane or the rocket or whatever, but a plane is a really good metaphor. The plane, the wind is coming, you know, all of a sudden, bam, there's this huge amount of wind and turbulence. So the plane isn't thinking, or the pilot isn't thinking, oh my God, I'm so stupid. I'm so guilty. I'm so ashamed that the plane is bouncing because of the wind or the storm or the, no, it's just like, yeah, this is part of life. We're navigating this. We're clear, we're going where we're going, and it's going to be a little bumpy for a while, but it won't last forever.
Yep, exactly. And sometimes it has to sit on the ground for a while because of snow or rain or thunderstorms. And like all of these analogies are very helpful because we are so used to having an idea that it's supposed to look a certain way, and it never does. And so if we can just let go of that idea and say, okay, this is what it looks like, and be happy in that, like no matter what, it's like Byron Katie, you know, loving what is, no matter what happens, I'm going to be present for it. Like, I'm not going to think this is bad and this is good. It's all good.
It's all good. All good in God's neighborhood.
Mm.
Indeed. Now, we haven't talked about this, but you had mentioned when I asked you if you'd like to be a part of this series, and I asked you what you would like to have as your topic and talk about, you said that you'd been having an experience of living A Course in Miracles more faithfully, or more, I don't remember exactly how you described it. I think you just said really living A Course in Miracles, and you said that you were losing weight.
Yep.
So, and that you would like to share that with us. And so what's been going on?
Well, I let go of all my food rules, first of all. Like, I have lifelong food rules and self-sabotage body image and trying to fix my behavior. And I've tried everything. You know, I wasn't planning on talking about this today, but, you know, I'm glad you brought it up, because people are constantly saying to me now, what are you doing? You look different. And to me, it really is just about letting go of every idea of how it's supposed to look and starting to just be conscious. You know, to me, that's what it is. It's like I am making different food choices. I have no food rules, but it's being present for things now. It's not going on autopilot anymore, which is how I live most of my life. It's just, and the other thing that's really changed for me is I can't tell you for how many years I would just say it's not real. Like, I can do this because it's not real. It's an illusion. And that's a tricky one, because, you know, you become suddenly in a place where you're saying, okay, that's a game. That's a child's game. I'm not going to do that anymore. Jesus didn't do that. Like, Jesus was so present when he walked this earth. And I can't really describe what happened. Like, I haven't been dieting. I haven't been trying to change anything. It just started to change by itself. And I think that's exactly what Jesus says A Course in Miracles will do. Like, when you let go of trying to make something happen, it happens on its own.
So I'm loving this conversation. I'm interested. I think I know what you mean, but can you give an example of some food rules?
Well, the first thing is I pretty much just began to see, like, I want to eat smaller portions. I want to eat healthy, but even that, like, even saying it, it doesn't sound right. But I started really to see, like, how much of my focus was on the body and on food and on trying to improve my appearance. And A Course in Miracles is about, like, really beginning to become aware of the hidden beliefs. And I didn't realize, like, I'm trying to change something for a future outcome. What if I could just love myself? What if I could just in this moment be so truly alive and not to exercise anymore? Like, I don't go to the gym, you know, like kids, you know, kids just play. They run, they're active. They don't finish the food on their plate because they want to go outside and play. Like, they're totally connected. And I began to live in that way. You know, I think if there was a food rule for me personally, we bought a Vitamix for Christmas last year. I said to Bill, and it's like a $600 blender. If anybody doesn't know what a Vitamix is, it's like buying a car for the kitchen. And to me, it's the best purchase I've ever made. Like, I love it because we're just eating fresh now. We eat fresh. I love eating local. I love just, I went for this long time just feeling like I'm only eating to sustain the body somehow, like proteins and carbs and don't eat sugar. And now it's just like coming much more from a centered place. And from that centered place, new actions come forth, you know. So Bill, he is like looking amazing. Like he's completely transformed his own body, not even trying. But every morning he does planks and he's doing sit-ups and I don't know. I can't explain it. I would like to be able to explain it, except that it just came from a decision of, I can't keep living the way I was living. This way isn't working. And to me, that's a choice. Okay, I'm going to make new choices now. I'm going to move forward from this place. And you begin to see that it is a new life.
You know, it's such a journey, and it's important to respect it. Our life experience is a journey of learning and growth and understanding and having self-compassion. And one of the things that I did was, a few years ago, I was traveling quite a bit, and I just decided to let the rules go and just eat whatever I felt like eating and do whatever I felt like doing. And I was more sedentary, and I was a lot more sedentary, just because I used to exercise quite a bit. And I did gain weight. I got to my heaviest weight. And then I looked at that and I was like, oh, and then I realized, wait a minute. I don't want to go back to exercising the way I was, motivating myself by the ego. Yeah. And I realized that the ego was driving my workout. And I love to work out. Yeah. I mean, I authentically love to work out. I enjoy exercising. I enjoy moving around and being physical, even though there's no question about it, I'm a roundy. I'm a round person. You know, I'm just soft and round, and I've run a marathon. I ran the New York Marathon once, and I used to run, 40 miles a week or whatever. But I'm not built to be an athlete. You know, I once had a boyfriend who said, "You're built for comfort, not speed."
Yeah.
And that's me. And so when I realized that I had been motivated by the ego for my exercising, I said, oh, that's got to go.
Yeah.
That just has to go. And if I end up being larger and more round, so be it, because I just can't let the ego drive my practice of living. And so that was a big letting go. And I had to look at, am I judging myself now because I'm heavier, and how's that going to work? And I've come down from that weight, but still, it's still a journey every day just to look at, am I eating this because I authentically feel like this is the most loving, supportive thing for me to eat? Or am I eating because it's put in front of me? Or because I'm feeling a little anxious, or I'm feeling exhausted, I want to comfort myself? Like, what's really going on?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Like this week I went and bought a hula hoop. You know, I was with a girlfriend of mine. She's a friend of mine. She's a travel writer. She writes for National Geographic and the New York Times and the Washington Post. And we take a yearly one-week holiday. We went to Brittany, France last year and walked on this canal. And we decided this year that she was going to come here. And I just thought we would, go for coffees and work. But she found all these awesome trails. Like she said, Lisa, you live in like the best spot of every place I've ever gone. And we would work in the morning, because she's, a freelance writer, and then we would have lunch. We'd find an awesome place for lunch, and her big thing is about discovery, like just letting every day be fun, just being a day full of wonder, a day of fitness, of being active, and then we would go find these trails along the ocean, in the forest, so every afternoon we would go walking, so it didn't feel like exercise. It felt like, oh, wow, I'm living my life, like I'm having fun. And we were walking in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and I saw a hula hoop, and I said, oh my God, I used to love hula hooping. She goes, buy it. And I said, oh, okay. So I bought this hula hoop. And so I've been hula hooping this week, just going out on the front lawn. And so I don't know, it's been amazing to me, because there's no outcome anymore. It just feels better to me to live in this way. You know, I think you nailed it when you said, you know, why am I eating this? You know, become conscious, like, do I really like this? Do I really want this?
Here's the thing. So being willing to just be present in the moment to what's really going on. So much of our spiritual practice stems from just that willingness to actually be aware of what we're thinking, be aware of what we're feeling, be aware of what the motivations are, and are we being motivated by the ego? Are we being inspired by the spirit? What's actually the thing that we're focused on in the moment? And the ego's always trying to get us to look away, look away, look away, look at the past, look at the future. So like you said, to be choosing what you're eating now because of the result you would like in the future. And every self-help, fitness, food thing, every diet is motivated from that future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not now.
Exactly. I mean, to me, this category goes along with the money category. You know, it's like, oh, we don't talk about food. We don't talk about money. We don't talk about sex. We don't talk about those because they're worldly. But to me, these are exactly the things we need to look at, because these are the thoughts and the beliefs that are driving the show, that are causing the conflict. So you begin to be willing. I love your story, Jennifer, of what you said when you made that decision to be authentic and transparent and real. It was just that decision when you said, I'm just going to be myself now. And that's how it's been for me. It's really like, okay, wow, I don't want to have my spiritual life in this category and the rest over here that I'm keeping hidden from everybody. I want to look at everything. I want to look at all of my body image ideas and food and money and every idea that I used to say, I'm not going to look at that because that's not spiritual. Now everything gets included, so that it can be looked at, so that it can be forgiven, so that it can be released. And that's freedom. That's the freedom that we're looking for.
Yes. Yes, it is. And I'm glad you mentioned the sex, because that's something I talk about in my classes as well. Because, and I think that, you know, that's something that is really important for us talk about as spiritual beings, because there's a lot of our lives that are influenced by our sexuality, by how we think of ourselves sexually, and it doesn't matter what's actually happening in our sex life. It's just because whether we're celibate, abstinent, or promiscuous, or whatever it is that's going on, our thoughts about ourselves as sexual beings are very much tied to our spiritual practice and the way we're living spiritually.
Yes.
Yep. And there's no need to separate our food choices, our sexuality, or anything from our spiritual life. In fact, the only way that we can truly be successful as spiritual people is to have it all be part of our spiritual life.
Exactly. Yep.
And so we're about at time here, but I wonder, in terms of being happy and living in joy, do you have anything that you could share with us about sexuality and your sex life?
Well,
anything funny that you've learned that's helpful to you is, and having a spiritual aspect to your sex life, because you're
married. Sure, Bill. I know Bill is downstairs. I'm upstairs. I know Bill's downstairs listening, and I'm sure he's laughing his head off right now. The sex is off the charts. I'll just say that for all the world to hear. I have found total freedom in where I am in life. It really has been amazing, because for the longest time I had ideas of you know, I'm not supposed to do certain things and or ideas. I went through a phase of celibacy, and then I went through a phase of, you know, I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm only going to, like, he's my model, and I'm only going to eat what Jesus ate. I'm only going to live like Jesus lived. And it's like every idol must go. And finally, just to come into this place where it's like I get to be myself. You know, I get to, I love my life. I really do. I love how simple it is. I love that it's all just one expression now of love. It's not like, well, now I'm being a spiritual teacher and here's my life. It's the whole thing is one. You know, Jesus talks about that. He talks about how everything will become one. There's an integration that happens where you're living now from this place, and you're everything that you do, whether it's cooking or driving a car or having sex or paying your bills or working a job or raising your children, it's living the message. It's not that now I'm not being spiritual in checking Facebook. You know, it's like, where am I? Where's my mind when I'm doing these things? And remembering my brother, remembering myself. So it's, to me, it's all about the mind training, you know, always coming back to remembering, okay, where am I in this experience right now? And it's amazing because it really is a transformation, and people begin to experience this. And I give thanks that you asked the question.
Yeah. It's, When our mind is letting go of the judgments and opinions, we're in the flow of love like never before, and everything becomes more joyful. Everything can be delightful. We can change our mind about everything. We can change our mind about doing the dishes. We can change our mind about things that we just couldn't stand before. And everything can really be transformed by the healing of our mind, and our whole experience is different. And you're living that. You're a living example of that. And I appreciate your authenticity as well, because people, we've had enough of spiritual teachers who pretend that they're happier. They pretend, and then that just sends the message to the world that no one can actually attain this. Mm-hmm. No one can attain the joy and the happiness, or it's only really, really special people who have some magical quality that I don't have. And so, you know, well,
I was just going to say, my favorite workbook lesson is lesson 100. You know, it talks about joy, and it says God's will for you is perfect happiness. And I began to really say, okay, well, what makes me happy? Like, what are the things? Like, I like nice things. You know, I'm a Taurus girl. I like nice things. I remember someone once saying that they would sleep on they didn't need a bed. They would sleep on the floor. And I would sleep on the floor too. I have slept on the floor, actually. Like, I've gone camping. It's like, okay, here's your tent and here's your sleeping bag. And I'm like, yay, perfect. But like, I choose to like stay in a nice place. You know, I just say, okay, wow. Like, I don't have to limit myself to just what's given to me. I get to be totally present for whatever's happening. God's will for me is perfect happiness. You know, I take a lot of classes online. I love learning. I love studying. I have mentors that are non-Course in Miracle mentors. Like, my number one mentor is Brendan Burchard. And some people would think, well, that's not very spiritual. Like, she's taking these worldly online courses. I love them. You know, I'm becoming a unity minister, already ordained in 3 different places, but I love unity. So it's, to me, it's all just about, this is your life. You are here, and your joy heals all sorrow and despair. Find what makes you happy. You know, there's like that quote that the world needs more of, what is it? Like, find the thing you love, because the world needs more of that. Like, it needs you in your joy. and in your spontaneity and your fullest expression and your creativity. And that's how I want to live.
Yes. Yes, that's how you're living. I know it. Well, we are at time here, and I would love to just go back to the beginning, and I would love to tell people some of the free things that you have offered on your website, Lisa, and how people can connect with you, and then we'll pray out.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, this has been a blast to be with you, and I'm grateful just to let people know that there is a solution. They don't have to suffer. And we have a nonprofit organization, my husband Bill and I, called the Teachers of God Foundation, and we offer online programs and live events. And the most popular one is the 40-day program. It's totally free. It's online. It's offered three times a year, January 1st, May 1st, and September 1st. So the next one is a month away. And it's a fast track through the Course in Miracles. To me, I call it an activation. Like it really is just taking the main themes of A Course in Miracles. And my goal as a teacher is to activate someone to feel that excitement, to want to dedicate their life to this, to go buy the book, you know, make the commitment to the workbook. As an amazing community on Facebook, there's an incredible Facebook private page. And we also have a six-month mastery program called Living in Purpose. And my personal favorite online program, which no one knows about, I really don't talk about it very much, but I did a one-year program for anyone who needs additional support getting through the workbook lessons of A Course in Miracles. That one's called ACIM 365. And every single day for every single lesson, I do a 10-minute audio. The audio has been transcribed so you can read about it. And if audio is not your preference, you get an email every single day. And I love it. I absolutely love that program as my favorite, because I get letters from people who say, I've tried to do the workbook, or I have done the workbook, and somehow this year, everything changed in just making a new commitment. I did all 365. I get all these messages from people that tell me they finished. And so that's all on the Teachers of God website, which is teachersofgod.org. We have a Friday morning Course in Miracles group, which is live stream. That link is also there. And I have my own personal website, which is lisanatoli.com. And that's a brand new website. My own personal website got hacked a few years ago, which was perfect. I lost every bit of content, years worth of blogs.
Oh.
This was good, because it was like it's a whole new start for me, where I just want to share myself, you know, just really finding people who are ready to live in love and make a decision to serve the Great Awakening. And there's just an incredible community of people who are here walking the path. So I thank you, Jennifer, for all that you do. I hear about you on a regular basis. So many people have taken your programs, and very grateful.
Yes, we live in a blessed time, and I'm so glad that we're blessing each other, and so many are blessing us by participating with us. We've got prayer partners all over the place. I just asked while we were in our class, I asked Tina, who does the awesome customer service for Power of Love Ministry. She's our customer service goddess. And we've got 40 people from 40 countries in Living A Course in Miracles this time.
Wow.
So, yeah, 40 countries.
I love that.
More than 7,500 people so far. And wow. So I'm inviting people to post a link at Facebook and to share the links with their friends and let people know all these classes are free. The downloads are free. The transcripts are free. The replays are free. it's all free and more to come. So thank you, Lisa. I've been looking forward so much to joining with you, and I'm going to bless us with a prayer and close us out.
Thank you.
Oh, so once again, I invite everyone to take your hand and place it on your heart, and we do this to symbolize that we're interested in really being wholehearted, all in for God, gorgeous for God, as Lisa says in her book. So grateful right now to open our hearts and open our minds to the power of love living as us. We're grateful and thankful that love is our true nature. It's our essence, and we're already as perfect as we can be. So we're consciously joining together with the Holy Spirit to remember and recognize our wholeness, our perfection. We're grateful and thankful to be willing to know and to live the joy that is unconditional. It's not based on the circumstances of our life. Joy is our true essence and nature. We're willing to discover that, to live that, to shine it forth, and to be a living example of it. We're willing to let go of all attachments we have to living in pain or sadness or misery or unhappiness. We're letting all limiting thoughts fall away. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to do the heavy lifting of figuring out how we're going to have a healing. We are willing to have a healing. We are having healing. It's happening now. We choose it. We're grateful for it. We bless Lisa and know that her life and Bill's life is a life of love. We're claiming it for ourselves and sharing the benefits with everyone. In gratitude, we allow our healing, our expansion, our joy to simply be. We let it be, and so it is. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow, you're a master at those prayers. I love it.
I love you, and thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. This was a blast.
God bless you, everyone. God bless you, Lisa.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.